You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 279. I'm Dan Hammond.
I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we didn't have a tournament locally. We didn't really do much of anything. So we're going to talk about the animated show. We finally got around to watching an episode that we can talk about, and we don't have a ton of other things to talk about, so that's a good time for it. Worlds is going on this weekend, and we've got a bunch of more crossover cards were released or were spoiled over last weekend, so we can talk about that a bit. What should we start with?
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
Well, since we've held it off for so long, why don't we start with the animated series?
All right. Do you have any recollection of the episode this was kind of based on?
Yes.
All right. The only
Some.
I know I've seen it because I remember. I think the congenial Dr. McCoy or whatever it is from that two week card that came from this episode that original series episode, and I had a sound file.
The Gentleman, Dr. McCoy.
The Gentleman, Dr. McCoy, yes. I had a sound file back in college that I played often, and it was McCoy saying,
"That's right.
I got a personal grudge against that rabbit, Jim." I think I just had it every time my computer errored out. that would pop up and complain. But that's about all I remember. So all I need to do is go back and watch that episode as a prequel to this episode.
I almost... should I go back and watch this so I can understand what's going on? And I almost, but as soon as every time I would feel like I was out of my depth, they would mention something about the initial episode and be like, oh God, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because when they first started, I was like, everything here tried to kill them, after the good stuff. Why would they come back here knowingly and willingly? And then it was like, oh, right. They met the guy and he made it okay. And I guess it's okay, except it's not.
Right. So in this episode, they've decided that they all need shore leave, so we're going to go back to this planet. They beam down, and everyone reminisces about how in that other episode, which was there some kind of meta line that, was it Sulu said something? I want to say he had some line about, I have no idea what happened last time we were here. And McCoy said something like, yeah, it was an episode we don't need to remember, or something like that.
Oh, he...
Am I making that up?
Yeah, no, you're not. Just misremembering a little.
Okay.
I remember Sulu saying, it's like I almost don't remember it being bad last time because it's so nice here. And then at one point later, they're talking about, because they're, I guess their MacGuffin or their little way of getting around the planet, which starts attacking them again, even though it's supposed to be safe again, is, well, McCoy got injured last time, and the planet was like, okay, well, we can't have that, so let's go and get him, even though he's mortally wounded. We'll take him away somewhere and heal him up and then put him back. And so Kirk is like, maybe we should do that again. Bones, do you remember anything about that? And he's like, no, the whole episode was kind of forgettable.
Yes, that's right.
And there's like, was that a deliberate choice to use the word episode? And if so, why would you do that about your own show that you are now making a sequel to? Like, not just the show, the episode.
Yeah. So that pretty much sums up the whole thing. It was interesting to see. When they last left this, it's one of those things where when we left this, everything's were great, and in the meantime, things have deteriorated, and we came back, and now here's the downfall of what happened, which I guess, it's kind of like what they did for Star Trek too. But they're running around, and they got the whole, I get the feeling like they were, one of the things that they note about the animated series is they can do a lot more with aliens and creature things, and they really did that a lot here. What was it, Mares? The purring Maress on the bridge had a lot of lines.
Her and Eric's.
Yeah. With the extra arm coming out of his shirt. I didn't notice he had an extra leg. I think maybe I did, but.
Yeah, he has an extra leg now.
Yeah, he's harder to knock
him. Now that you see him not sitting down.
Yeah. anyway, I watched this with the kids again, and they had a great time because Cordelia recognized Alice in Wonderland, and so that was fun. Uhura is captured right away and provides the narrative of what's going on, pretty much, right? She was Lieutenant Exposition.
Yeah.
Between her and the computer, talking about what's going on, and you learn over time that the computer is bored with his confines. The computer that's running the planet, the caretaker has passed away, so the computer's just running things, and he wants to go explore the galaxy because that's what, you know, computers do, because he'll go find his brother computers.
I kind of found that part interesting.
Yeah.
Except that it had the, again, animated series flaw of, this is an interesting plot point. We're going to touch on it, and now it's solved. Yay!
Yes.
But it was a nice sort of precursor to the, like, the most interesting part of the motion picture.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to mention that, too. It's like they're little kernels that grow into other things somewhere else, you know. Bring me your ship. Yeah. I'm going to take it over. And there was a very brief, you know, the planet computer trying to take over the Enterprise thing with, they were building a machine and...
Yeah.
It just kind of stopped.
Again, what with the... Too much time spent on one thing and not enough time spent on the other. Because it's very much you finally find out what's happening. Oh, the computer has evolved over all this time, and it's a very sophisticated machine, and it's only had this limited sphere of experience, so it thinks that, like, biological organisms are the slaves of the machines, because machines should obviously be superior. Computers are better, even though he's malfunctioning. And they're like, so I'm going to terminate all of you because you're the slaves, and I'm going to take over the flying machine, which is like, well, if you consider it to be a kindred spirit, why are you killing its slaves and taking it over? That doesn't seem cool. And then they're like, oh, but no, if you want more experiences, then you have this really cool gift, so we should bring people to you, and you wouldn't have to leave. And the machine's like, yeah, I can find no flaw in that logic, so let's do it. Literally the line, I can find no flaw with that logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll release your ship.
It was rather abrupt, but this entire episode had the advantage of a plot simple enough that my 6-year-old could follow it. So I got questions later on about, so why did the computer want to go explore? He wanted to go find his friends or his brothers or something like that. And then later on, all the people went to him, so he didn't have to go anywhere. Like, yeah, that's pretty much it. Well done. So,
wow.
Of all the plots we've seen so far, I think this is the most linear, right?
Sure. The most adolescently approachable?
Yes.
Congratulations, a first grader understood your plot.
Yes. All right. Sure. I didn't hate this episode as much as I could have. So I'll give it, you know. Are we going out of five? I'll go 3 out of 5 on this one.
We've been going out of 5. It wasn't bad, and like you said, it suffered from the same issues. But yeah, it wasn't horrible. There wasn't anything I was like, oh, God, that was terrible. So definitely a 3 out of 5. I like that even though they were, you know, animated series, we can do all this cool stuff. And they did some, you know, there was a dragon.
Yeah.
And, you know, some pterodactyls, and that was cool. But then they, like, I don't know if it was because they were used to it or to maintain continuity. If you want to really give them credit, you could say it was the latter. But when they're like, oh, okay, we're okay now. You've talked us out of it. We're going to stop trying to kill you. And outside, Sulu and McCoy, who got cut off from coming in to talk to the computer, being chased around by this giant two-headed red dragon. And then rather than it, you know, poofing or dissolving or any other kind of cool disappearing thing you could do in an animated series, it does the same thing you would in a regular series where it's kind of slinks behind a rock, and then it's not there anymore.
It just kind of falls back.
Like, what? Why would you do that?
But it led to the that very final closing scene of what Sulu and McCoy and,
oh, God,
and
yes.
Alice and the dragon all having a nice little tea party.
Oh, yeah. It would appear that short leave has already begun for some.
That's perfect. That would be the card. It's something that you play after you solve a mission and you get stuff. Maybe card draws, maybe points, but everybody's sitting around having tea with dragons. That's hilarious. That's fantastic.
If your away team's not stopped, you stop them and get stuff.
Voluntarily. Yes, before the mission debriefing could hit them, they all stop and have a tea party.
That's amazing.
All right. That's all I got. That was fun. But right. the next episode is one that I've actually been looking forward to almost probably as much as the Tribbles episode.
Really?
And that's the return of Harry Mudd. It's Mudd's passion.
Yes. The few things that TOS had a chance to do that was recurring, so we have to have another episode of that. So it should be interesting. A lot of people like Harcourt Fenton Mudd as a ne'er-do-well, a jovial ne'er-do-well in the TOS. So.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I wonder if I should go back and watch the other... There are two Mudd episodes, right? iMudd and Mudd's Women?
Yes, Mudd's Women.
Maybe go watch those first. Or maybe that would just completely ruin it for me. Maybe
I'm wondering if they're going to have the same actor. That would be funny.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to be Scotty again.
Maybe I'll go back and read the reviews and the synopsis for those two episodes so I can remember what was going on.
Yeah.
That's my plan. All right. Once again, if you're exploring this with us, send us a note and we will. Wow, that's an interesting picture. I'm going to close it up before I get too far into Mudd's episode. We'll discuss it on the show and there we go. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say from dream cards to actual cards, there are a bunch more crossover cards in the week have come up. Are we shifting gears too fast or does that?
Nope, that sounds good. Like a good place to go. Just today, we got a few missions, and if we talk for 15 minutes, we might see some more. I don't know if we have enough to stretch that far, but there are some interesting missions going on in the Mirror Quadrant. You've probably played many, many more Mirror games than I have. Are you itching to jump back in? And I mean, like, Secure Spy Lines is a 30-point space mission in the Mirror Quadrant. Security, treachery, navigation. That's got to be pretty good sounding, right?
Yeah, it's really cool to see space missions in the Mirror Quadrant. I'm a little curious with because there's still Monument, UR Monument,
yeah,
out there. So it's you're still going to have to make your way to the Alpha Quadrant. So I don't really know. I mean, that was obviously the plan in the past. You do your planet missions and then you go to Alpha and do space.
Did you ever try to
Alpha
do,
and space?
Did you ever try to do 180 points in the Mirror Quadrant, or is that just too much?
No, I think I tried to do 140 a couple of times, different ways. Like I went all planet in Alpha and Delta or Alpha Mirror, or I went 140 just in Mirror. Which I guess you couldn't really do without the space, but I just trying to get bonus points instead of planet space.
So this gives you the opportunity to do that, though. You get a couple. There's a couple at least. Well, I clicked through and I saw one space mission here. Oh, there's the test warship as well.
Oh, there's a uni. I want to say there's a universal one.
I just clicked on the new ones. Enlistment Drive and Evade Patrolling. Yeah, Evade Patrolling Squadron is Plasma Storm Badland region in the Mirror Quadrant.
Yeah.
Nav, Science, and Cutting. Yeah, so there's plenty of space to spread out and get your 140 points if you want to do it that way. And after last week, Johnny was running 140 points in the Delta Quadrant, so it's certainly still a valid strategy.
Yeah, it's big. If you have missions, it's not quite as easy to do as it is in the Delta Quadrant, since all of those people are still ridiculous and all of those missions are still really easy with high points, unlike here. But you know, if you can supplement it with some Dabo and some other ways of getting bonus points, it's certainly possible to sit there and wall yourself off. Although it was interesting, I don't know if you noticed. Well, actually, you did notice because you were one of the people who was doing it. But I don't think anybody was playing in the Mirror Quadrant this last tournament. But everybody who was playing Wormholes, which I used to be the only person who did it, you know, if you were playing DS9 or Gamma Quadrant, it was like, okay, well, I could get the Mirror Quadrant, but, you know, I'm not going there, so I don't care. So I've just got these two Wormholes. Whereas I always brought mine along just to throw people off. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw every player I played against had those, and they all played the Mirror Wormhole, even though they weren't using it. Because I guess they wanted, you know, they were either preemptively preparing or just waiting for that to be a thing.
My deck wanted the interaction. If you were hiding the Mirror Quadrant, I had more than enough weapons to go find you, especially the Mirror Quadrant shifts, little guys. And I think that's what I'm trying to think of who else was playing, but that was the point of mine, the flexibility to go anywhere with one seed card, pretty much to access the two quadrants.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's less of a problem, you know, with the KCA, especially now that they've got this incident where you can the region's flagship. You can just, you know, you don't have to worry about a headquarters or a station. You just, all right, here's my big ship, and I'm coming for you. And I don't know that I necessarily want, I would want to go hunting that ship, especially if it's got any friends.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be worth some points, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be worth, what I'm trying to say is, if I was playing the Starfleet deck, it would be worth it to go blow it up, because that's where everybody is, and that's your reporting engine. So...
right.
That would certainly make it worthwhile. It reminds me of hunting the Executor, though. It's like flagship operations.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll get another card or so in a few minutes. And the rest of the set, when does the set release? On the 25th, so end of the week, right?
Friday.
Yeah.
Yep, Friday.
Right in the middle of World's Weekend. Yeah. So Worlds
so
is...
they can have their own preview.
I'm hoping. I think there's. I had heard some mumbling of a release tournament. It's not going to be legal until the next week, which is probably timed well. You don't want to drop a new set right before Worlds, right?
No, definitely. But you could do like an unsanctioned.
Yeah.
Pre-release. I would totally play in that.
Something similar to the sealed that was in at Gen Con or something like that, where you get a starter and a bunch of boosters.
Yeah, probably you know, much more expanded now that there's more cards that are finalized and ready to go. That event was fun, but it was more limited than I was hoping. You know, now that we've seen all these engines and I would even consider doing a constructed, you know, go just print it out. You know, you can see a lot of cards already. Prepare just something ahead of time or have an idea what you want to do and, you know, throw in extra cards when you're there.
Wow. You know what would be fun the next time a set comes out? Is on Thursday before the release, we're going to have a tournament that's constructed, and any card that you can print out that's been revealed, you can use.
Oh, God.
So it'll be like half a set.
Wow, that would be really interesting. Like 9 o'clock on Wednesday, you're like, all right, what's the last card?
Yeah. You just cut and paste some images into Word or whatever and print them out.
I was going to say, like, but how are you going to print those out? And you have to do it the hard way. Oh.
Yeah, like the way we used to do it, right?
Yeah.
Just throw them all together and then you play, and then the next day the rest of the cards come out and you're like, oh, yeah. This will be so good with this, and I should have been playing that, and why wasn't this out yesterday? That'd be fun.
We have to have like a minimum, like you have to have at least X number of cards from the set.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Yeah, minimum requirement. Oh, okay, I got a new idea. All right. You're talking about percentages, right? Percentage of your deck.
Sure.
Let's have an online tournament where every week all the cards that have been revealed get added, right? And the number of percentage of your deck has to go up to match.
Oh, wow.
Except that the online cards aren't released until the set releases, so that wouldn't work at all. All right.
All right. Yeah, let's call up our friendly lackey folks and say, hey, can you have these ready immediately on a weekly basis?
All right, so perhaps that's not something that we could do. But I do like the idea of having the event right before the release. Even if it were like a Wednesday, you know, then we'd lose a card or two, but playing with half the set would be fun, and then playing with the rest of the set would be, you know, interesting too. All right. Unfortunately, I think I'm out of stuff. Have you got anything else?
I don't believe so. If looking ahead, we do have a 2E tournament this weekend. Unfortunately, you are going to be out of town.
Yep.
I am going to be at Petco Park. There is a Star Wars Day. We were just complaining about maybe July about how every MLB team seems to have a Star Wars Day, but Padres, even though the Padres had the first one, or one of the first ones, thanks to Ashley Eckstein.
Right.
And now they don't. And so now they got one. Apparently a lot of people were like, have this. And so they are. And so several of our local groups are going to go and costume and be the characters that you get to go and take your pictures with. So maybe we'll get to do something cool. I know the last time Caitlin did it, she got to go and dance on the ceiling of the dugout during a seventh inning stretch. And I think they had a Chewbacca throw out the first pitch. So
nice.
You know, maybe we could go and do something cool. Maybe we won't, but we'll get to see a lot of fans and get some baseball, and it should be fun. I'm very much looking forward to. I can't really see it. It's slightly out of frame. Well, maybe. Yep, there it is. I am just finishing.
Oh yeah,
my helmet. I just got it finished, glossed over. It's painted in wedge colors, and I'm going to put some decals on tonight, and then clear coat it again tomorrow, and then should be ready to go.
Sweet. Who are they playing? I mean, you don't go to Padre games often when you actually root for the Padres.
I want to say the D-backs, okay. Because I was like, ooh, they might win.
Ouch. All right. Okay. Enjoy that. We will be back next week for probably we'll go over the results of the tournament, even though neither of us are going to be there. But Crossover will be released, so we'll dig into the cards that have been released, spoiled after the set's released, and talk about what we want to play first, probably. And then after that, we can start looking forward to the next 2E set, I think. Sound like a plan?
Sure. You can look forward to that.
Come on. All right.
It is the D-backs.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to some more mirror action, and we'll definitely talk about that in abundance next time. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the mirror universe.
Oh, and I'll put a card from my hand to the top of the deck to end.
And you'll be double-crossed by the double-O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you can't